Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Kingdom Keys Weekly, a gospel broadcast designed to help believers grow in grace and in knowledge, where our message is the kingdom and our mission is to develop the kingdom mindset. We now join our broadcast already in progress, so join us as we receive our host, pastor, and teacher, Pastor Chris Taylor.
Good morning and
welcome. Good morning and welcome to this edition of Kingdom
Keys. I don't know what's happening. Hold on 1 second. There we are. All right. I trust we all can hear me now. Good morning and welcome. Please forgive us for that delay. I had an unforeseen knock at the door just before we were about to begin, but it was urgent. So please forgive me on that. But with that being said, thank you for your patience and holding and waiting. Again, this is the day the Lord has made. We're here to rejoice and to be glad in it. We wanted to, again, take this opportunity to thank all of you for your continued support, to all of the members of C.L. Taylor Ministries for your dedication and your commitment to this ministry, despite the confinements of the COVID and the impact that it's had on our worship. You still remain resilient and dedicated, and we appreciate it. We bless God for you. We want to take this opportunity to once again thank you for all that you continue to do. So with that being said, let's get right into our Bible study this morning. If you would, and you know, I was kind of recapping here just briefly our past studies and how they are taking us across the different levels of the scripture to really show us how line upon line and precept upon precept that the Bible just reaffirms itself. And so I'm grateful for these studies, because these studies have not only re-inspired a desire for learning and searching, because I was just sitting here reading through the scriptures, getting ready for the class this morning, and that was when the FedEx showed up at the door. And so we wanted to, again, like I was saying, my purpose for that, well, I was recapping where our studies take us from, and it's amazing how even these snapshots that we talk about that we got from the very beginning of our study in Genesis all the way, right? We're in the book of John and now moving into like Corinthians and other scriptures, Matthew, Acts, that we've been studying, Romans, Hebrews, all of these scriptures that support the very concept of what we've been trying to study. And so I'm grateful for this. You know, this is a great insight. And what was interesting is when we were studying John and it was talking about, we had went through the book of John in its entirety, chapter 1, and then we went back to verse 14 through 18, because those verses really are the ones that connect the Old Testament with the New Testament. And that is the reason why we've been focusing our studies on those things. And so as we move forward now, we're going to move from here. When we went to the temptation, we're going to move into the actual ministry of Christ on next week, the first week of November. It's going to open up our Galilean ministry of Jesus Christ. And so we'll be more on into the book of John chapter 2 and into Matthew chapter 4 and those studies in that respect and moving forward. So just to let you know, that's what we'll be moving forward to. So give you an idea of where we're pressing. But for today, we're going to talk about our topic of discussion today is comes from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, and we're going to support those and connect those with Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. And we've already kind of dealt with Matthew 17, which was the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, and we're going to, again, make that connection with our Old Testament. We talked about that, Moses being transfigured, and God's commitment to for man and all believers to have the same access of transfiguration, and so that's what we want to deal with. So if we would, let's bow our heads. God, we're grateful for this privilege of coming before you for this study. We invite the presence of your Holy Spirit to be with us, to indwell here with us, so that God will be careful to give you all the glory and the praise. And we invite the presence of the Spirit to lead us and direct us to be receptive to today's lesson. This is our prayer, God, that you would grant us our favors, these favors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so our scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, it reads, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." And so there's some concepts that we want to really look at from this scripture. And again, we say this is the word of God for the people of God, and we say thanks be unto God. But and no blessing. But in addition to that, there's also a scripture I wanted you to look at, Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. And then you'll find that there's another scripture that I wanted you to look at, which was also Acts chapter 3, verse 19. I have it for those of you that are online, it's already ready for you. But for those that, when we get to that section, we'll actually read that. But so we're talking about from the unveiled face, and our topic for today is the transforming, or our transforming by transfiguration, or we could say our transfiguration by transforming, however it was, because the concept of change in man is really the aspect that God is really trying to develop with this relationship that he builds with us. He's trying to change, well, first we learned our minds, he's trying to change our hearts. And then not only will he change our mind and change our hearts, but the Bible is describing that our overall appearance and image will be changed, and our whole likeness will be changed. And so he says, we all with unveiled faith. Now, I wanted to say this because when we talked about the study of the tabernacle in the Old Testament church with Moses, we looked at the fact that there was a veil that separated the most holy place, or that separated the holy place from the holy of holies. And that veil that was there was representative of the veil that Moses wore on his face after he came down off the Mount Sinai. And the people were afraid to look at him because the glory of God for it, during the time of his 40-day fast, began to reflect on Moses, and Moses began to reflect the glory of God himself. And that was the thing that that we all had basically study from that concept when Moses was at the foot of the mountain and with the 70, with the elders and the ministers of the tabernacle, or Aaron's sons, and also the presence of Joshua, his assistant, right? And so when Moses came down, right, his image was that of the likeness of the glory of God, right? His face was reflecting the glory of God. And the comparison that we made was the moon. And the moon is not an actual source of light itself, but it only reflects the light that is given off by the sun itself. And so that is ultimately the example that we wanted to use for that. But he says, so that access that we had to the Father, or to the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. That's what that curtain separated, the presence of God. And so when Moses wore the veil, he wore the veil in place of the people. But when Moses was in the presence of God, Moses had the liberty, or the freedom, of being able to be exposed and in relationship, intimate relationship with God. And that was what the veil represented for Moses, and what it served for him. And so Moses had liberty, or had the freedom, of removing the veil when he was in the presence of God. And so again, Corinthians tells us that Paul says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Now he's talking about that same Spirit that was present at Mount Sinai. That's who the Lord is. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And he says, but we are with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, right? So every believer now has access to the glory of God. That's what this relationship that we have with God does for us. It is one. It is not. It is a transforming relationship and a transforming power, and this power, what it does is it transforms us into the image, or it transforms us into the likeness of God. But we have this access. This is the important thing that was brought to us, that we have this access to the glory of God, and this access is not just privileged just to the high priest or just to the priest of the temple, as it was in the Old Testament church, but now this access is to anyone or to everyone who has turned to the Lord, according to verse number 16 of the same chapter, chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 16 says, it talks about those that have turned to the Lord. Now, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, and that's how we lose this veil, and that's how this veil is removed. That's how the blindness is removed, the hardness of heart, that's how it's removed. It's removed when we turn to the Lord. Now, what's interesting about this is that word in the Greek, turn, is a compound Greek word. It means it's a combination of a couple of words to represent a word. So, but the word, what it means, it translates to turn and to return. And so remember, this was the message of John the Baptist when he came, repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? And so that's the same thing that was the message that was given in Acts. And this is what I was saying, our support scripture, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 reads, repent, therefore, and be converted. And that's the word that we're looking at, converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. There that term is, presence of the Lord again. The Spirit represents the presence of the Lord, and it says that when we have turned to the Lord, when we repent and are converted, and that's what turn means. Turn means to turn, and then it also means to return in that concept when we turn away from the direction that we're going. And we've made this statement before. When we repent, we don't do a 360, we do a 180. We turn away from the direction that we're going, and we return back to the ways of the Lord. So that's what the conversion part aspect comes in. We turn and we return. So with all with veil face, every believer now has access to the glory of God, right? And then he says, well, with this access comes this relationship and this transforming aspect of our lives, and we become the image and likeness of God. It's what the Bible says. Telling us, and we see, and we get to witness and behold this transforming and the glory, and the Bible says as if we're looking in the mirror. That's what it means, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And what I reminded you on last week, we talked about this. I believe it was on Sunday. It says that a mirror in ancient times was a piece of polished brass or bronze that was polished with high polish. And the thing about it, that it wouldn't give you a clear, a good reflection of, as the mirrors of today do. The mirrors of today give you a mirror gives you a reflection. That's the term I'm looking for. It gives you an exact reflection of what's in the mirror. But the ancient mirrors of that time weren't that way. Again, they were polished metal, and because they were polished metal, it would be kind of cloudy and fuzzy, and also somewhat a distorted image. And so what they're really saying to us is that Paul is saying that now in this aspect, in this relationship of God, when we become unveiled, we can see the glory of God, but we can't see it perfectly yet. We can't quite grasp the fullness of the glory of God. And this is what God's warning was to Moses and all those other reason why he just walked by and let him see the hem of his garment, let him see the back of his robe. Elijah on the mountaintop, he let him see the back of him passing by. And so those are the aspects, because we can't grasp the fullness of the glory of the Lord, but we can see it in we get a good idea of the reflection while we're in the flesh, right? So, but we can't see it perfectly yet. But it says we are being transformed, and this concept of being transformed is this. As we are beholding the glory of God, as we are spending time in the intimate areas with God as we spend time in the access to, in the presence of God, is what we're saying. As we're spending time with the Lord in that intimate time, that our lives become changed and we will become transformed. But here's the thing. God transforms, or he changes our lives from the inside out. That's what he does. He will change us, but the appearance of change occurs on the inside first. And I've compared that to a seed being planted in the ground. The biggest, most important part of its development and the most important aspect of its growth happens where nobody can see. It happens underground, where the roots are taking hold and grabbing and gripping the soil so that it can support the growth that's about to take place out of the dirt. So the things that happen underneath the soil, the things that we can't see, are the most vital and important aspects of growth. And that's what happens in our relationship, this intimate relationship, this transforming relationship that we have with God. The transforming aspect changes on the inside first. What did God say? I want to change your heart first. Isn't that what he said? We learned that last week in the week's previous. I want to change your heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, which is why he no longer wants to have us abide by the stone tablets, but then he wrote the laws within our hearts so that it would change our hearts into the likeness and the image of the heart that he intended for us to have in the first place. So this is what we're saying, that he promises that he will change our lives, but our lives will change from the inside out. And it is through the vehicle of the old, of this new covenant, that we have this access. What am I saying? The old covenant had its glory, right? The old covenant had its value, because one of the things that it did, and it showed us the standard of by which God's perfection would be evaluated. That's what it showed us. It showed us just how perfect God was and how imperfect we are, and just what we had to strive for. That's what the law showed us. The law showed us, again, I reflect, when we look at the Ten Commandments, the first of the Ten Commandments, two of them apply to man, to man and his relationship with God, right? Thou shalt have no other God before me, right? And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those are the two things that apply to God. When you think about the other eight, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, all those other things that you start naming off, and the other eight commandments that we'll study a little bit more later in detail, those were the laws that helped man in their relationship with man. So what I'm saying is God had two rules that applied to him. Remember him, that he is God, don't put nothing before him, and remember his day to keep it holy. That's it. And the rest of us were designed to help me get along with my neighbor. And those are the concepts. And that's what the law, but then what did it show us? It showed us just how we weren't qualified, or not qualified, how we weren't capable of living up to the law because of sin. And so this is why it was important for the work of God that came. But let me give it. So he said he promises to change our life, and he promised to do it through this new covenant. We talked about the fact that the old covenant had its glory, but the problem is that it could not transform our lives through the law. The law would not change our lives. The law was the only thing. The law did not change our lives. The law only exposed our sin. And that's why God had to develop this new covenant, when he talked about the fading glory of the old covenant, right? So we're being made transformed into this law. But he uses the new covenant not just to transform us into nice people, but we're transformed into the very image and likeness of God. And he uses this new covenant to make us this transformed people. And that was the beauty of that new covenant we talked about. And it is a covenant of constant transformation. And that's what we learned in this. We are never a finished product. Though we're not what we used to be, the Bible is detailing in this scripture alone that we are a constant work, that as we spend time beholding the glory of God, and we spend that intimate time in the Holy of Holies, where he is in the presence of the Lord, and we spend time in that place, the Bible says we start to change and we start to look like him, but the change occurs from the inside to the outside. And that's the beauty of that. Look what he says. We are transformed into the same image. And it's saying we're transformed into the same image as if we are looking into a mirror. But watch this. This is what, but we're not looking into our mirror. We're looking into God's mirror. And what should happen is that when we look into God's mirror, we shouldn't see ourselves, but we should see we should see the image of God in us. That's what we should see when we look in God's mirror. And so the question that we ask is that when we look in the mirror, what is it that we see? Can we see the image of God? Do we see the likeness of God? Do we see the formliness of God happening in our lives? And this is what should be happening, because the Bible says we're changed into the same image of the Lord. But this only occurs when we spend time beholding the glory of the Lord. Some of you may know this about me and some may not. But if I look at something long enough, I can draw it to detail. I was one of the gifts that God had given me as a child, that I could draw comics, I could draw still life, I could paint, airbrush, charcoal, sketch, you name it. If I could see it, if I looked at it long enough, I could remember what it, the details of it, and I could draw it and I could paint it. And if I could see it, I can mimic it. If I looked at it long enough, I can draw it. And this is what the Bible is saying should happen with us in this intimate relationship that we have when we're spending time with God in the Holy of Holies. When we're in his presence, we should actually see the image and likeness of God in ourselves when we look in the mirror. Now, when we look through a glass darkly, when we look through the image that the mirror that the Bible is talking about at these times, we can see the shape and we can see the shine and we can see a likeness, but we don't see it quite clearly yet. And so, but the more we spend time with that image and looking at that image, and what I learned about the mirrors is that at the metal at this time, the more that they polished it, the clearer the image of the reflection would become. And so the process of creating the mirror in itself was something that was of a wonder in itself. And so this image, as we look into the mirror, we're changed into the image and the likeness of God. And this was the role of the new covenant. And this was why it was important for us to understand in our study of the tabernacle as we're moving forward, why the Bible referred to the ministry of death when it referred to the law. And this is why it was more glorious for us that that Christ would remove that veil from us and write the laws on our hearts so that we would learn how to live and become more like him and not just have a standard that reveals or exposes our insufficiencies. And that's what the old covenant did. It exposed our insufficiencies. But the new covenant not only exposed, the new covenant covered our insufficiencies and gives us now the access to be able to go and spend time with God in the Holy of Holies. And this is that is the place where we become transformed. One of the things that we're going to study about the tabernacle and being in that Holy of Holies is that on the carpet, the wall, the tapestry, the curtains that were on the wall all had images of cherubims on the curtains all through the Holy of Holies. And it was to remind them that they were in the presence of God. And what should happen is that there should be a conversion of themselves into that holiness, right? We're being transformed. We're not going to get into that this week. I'm going to close a little bit with it on let's close with it today so that we can move forward. He says we're being transformed into the image of God. Now remember, transformation, the reason why I said this is a ministry or a work of transformation into transfiguration, because when we are being transformed, it is a process. And he didn't say that the work would take place overnight. That was never a promise that was issued to us, but it was promised that we would be changed. And nobody, and I gotta say this, Moses went up on the mountaintop several times to fast with God, multiple times, to get that time, that relationship, to understand God, for that transformation to take place. Nobody gets it the first time. Nobody walks away from one encounter with God and has it all together. Not Paul, not Peter, none of us have it, because it takes time for us to be transformed. And we should expect that from ourselves and not be so hard on ourselves when one falls short and when we don't live up to the standard of perfection. But we got to remember, the more time we spend in the Holy of Holies and in the presence of God, the act of perfection will come. And this is what's beautiful. He says, from glory to glory. So the work of transformation is a continual process. It works from glory to glory. It means that from the time that God started this thing to the time that it ended, from the time he begins this work in us, that's glory. And from the time that he closes or finishes this work or completes this work in us, to our other glory. So he says, from glory to glory, he will ensure that this process or this continual progression will occur within our lives. And it occurs by the Spirit of the Lord. We've got to realize that. We open with the saying of where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But it also closes with this same concept by saying, by the Spirit of the Lord. And it is with these words that Paul is emphasizing two things. First of all, that this access to God that we have is a transforming presence by this new covenant, because it is through the new covenant that we are given the Spirit of the Lord. What are you saying? Because prior to that, the Bible talks about how the Spirit would visit and then leave. And again, the Spirit came upon him mightily. And again, the Spirit departed. And again, the Spirit came upon him. Even if you look at the life of Samson, and any other time where the Spirit visited, even the angels that visit, they never stayed. They never lingered long. They would depart. Melchizedek was an angel. He came. He didn't last long. He didn't stay here long. He departed. So the concept of what I'm trying to get you to understand is that there was never a permanent residence of the Spirit. It was always a visitation. But the Bible is trying to get us to understand is, because of this new covenant, we now have a continuous presence of the Spirit, because not only do we live in the presence of the Spirit, but the Spirit now lives in us. The Bible says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So this is the concept that we're making. So secondly, this work of transformation really is God working in us, because it happens by the Spirit of the Lord, not by the will of man, not by our efforts, not by our achievements, not by anything that we've earned or deserved, not because we've looked in this mirror so long that we think we've already become so beautiful. That is not the case. We don't achieve this or earn this transformation just by looking, but we earn this also by going in and beholding. And that's the whole kind of concept, that word beholding. Remember what we said, beholding? It meant to glare. It meant to gaze upon. It meant to spend time with and to study. And this is the concept that what he means about beholding as in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, because he's saying if we study the mirror, think about it. When you get ready to leave the house for whatever event it is and you want to look your best, the last thing you do is you check yourself in the mirror, and you check yourself, you study yourself. Is my hair in place? Is my makeup right? Is my beard neat? Whatever the case it is, you may have to do. But you look at yourself and you study it, not just a glance, but you make sure it looks good because of the presentation that you want to present. And this is the concept. We can't just look at ourselves, glance, and then go. We've got to spend time studying the image and the glory of the Lord so that we can be transformed as we behold this glory. So if we put ourselves in the place, watch this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's the important thing.
We have to place ourselves in the place where the Spirit of the Lord is. And once we do that, then the Spirit of the Lord can start transforming us. Again, that scripture that we looked at, Acts chapter 3, I wanted to read that one more time. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 said, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come where? From the presence of the Lord. So whenever it is, the Bible is explaining that in this scripture, and I like it because there are times the scripture suggests that our souls will need refreshing. There are times that our spirits are going to need refreshing. And the Bible is declaring that if we want that refreshing in life, we have to put ourselves where the Spirit of the Lord is. So brothers and sisters, those of you that are listening, that is our lesson for today. We hope and trust that you have been blessed and helped by what you have heard today, and that this was a message of inspiration and a lesson of enhancement and information, so that we can go and we can now understand our relationship with God a little bit better and what it takes for us to be changed into the glory and the image of God and what that means for us as believers and the access that we have directly to God and the liberty that the Spirit gives us as far as this freedom of this access. So I've been blessed by the study so far. And again, we're looking forward to moving forward into our studies as we study more in depth the tabernacle of Moses. We're going to do that on a lot of our studies. And also we're going to dig also simultaneously with the message or the ministry of Jesus Christ that it applies to his Galilean ministry. After he is tempted, the Bible says he went into, after he left the wilderness, he came out of the wilderness and began his Galilean ministry. Now, how does that connect? If you recall when we started this concept about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness and the purpose for him having this wilderness experience in 40 days, we learned that our wilderness experiences are not punishments for past sins, yet they are preparation for future work. And this was the reason why Jesus was tempted, because after this, he began his work as the Galilean ministry that he began. And so that's where we're going to begin our studies moving forward. And so while we're simultaneously breaking down and studying the tabernacle of the wilderness or the wilderness temple, church, and God's purpose and desire to dwell, to tabernacle among his people. Yes, we're still focusing on that aspect of our study. We're also going to be learning the history of the church and the progression of the Old Testament church and worships into the New Testament church and worships. And we're going to find some comparisons and discover some things that God had laid in order in his worship services and why in particular they are there versus what we practice now and what should and should not be versus what God laid out according to the word of God. So again, to all of you, thank you for again joining us in our, what we call our kingdom keys. These are the things that connect us to the kingdom. Our purpose is to develop the kingdom mindset and to discover our authority as believers and to grow in those things. And that's the purpose of our Kingdom Keys publication and our Kingdom Keys broadcast. So we want to thank you again, CL Taylor Ministries, for all of your support. And if you are not a member of CL Taylor Ministries and your desire is to support our work, we certainly invite you to join us in sowing a financial monetary seed in ministry with us and trusting God for the increase. So if your desire is to join us in this work or one of our other community outreach efforts, then we invite you to send your gift made payable to CL Taylor Ministries, 8928 South Figueroa Street in the city of Los Angeles, and that zip code is 90003. Again, that is CL Taylor Ministries, 8928 South Figueroa Street in the city of Los Angeles, and that zip code is 90003. Again, my brothers and sisters, we want to let all of you know, we want to remind you that this Sunday is our first Sunday. We will be having our drive-through services. I will be preaching bringing you the services live from the patio, if possible, if the weather permits. That way you can listen in and watch from your car, or if you want to get out and set up, we'll be setting up for our communion, and you want to stand around, and you know, you'd be free to welcome and do that as well. But we will have our drive-up fellowship for communion. You're welcome to come and join us there. With that being said, we look forward to that. Seeing those of you, get the word out to those brothers and sisters that are a little bit slow. So with that being said, God bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. With that being said, we're blessed.